you guys figure out what this is? Some said that this might be hard to understand. What this is a New Testament. Of course, that's not Greek, though, so I guess I have the wrong picture. That's Hebrew, right? But it's just kind of given the idea. He's actually doing the Old Testament, but anyway. So let me just give you some stats. This is the stats. The numbers have actually changed. This is as of 2018. So you see 7,300 plus languages and then other numbers there. For the sake of time, I'll just go quickly here. But we're talking over 4,000 don't have anything, which is around 250 million people have nothing at all. And then those who don't have a full Bible is 1.5 billion people who don't have a full Bible. So they maybe have the New Testament, but don't have the Old Testament. So we're trying to help people with nothing and those with something as well. And you would think with all those possibilities out there that it wouldn't be very hard for us to find projects, but actually it can be extremely complicated. So let me just go quickly through the process that we go through. The way we find out about a possible need is different ways. Either they come to us or we kind of go to them. Here we were going to Papua New Guinea, and it took us something like 8 years to get to this point where we actually signed an agreement with them and started doing the project. Sadly, that project actually had to stop because of lack of national leadership, because we pretty much partner with nationals and then they run the show. And if they don't, then we just can't keep pouring money. And this is a very expensive project to do all the way around the world. So it can take many years to work on this. They filled out a project preliminary questionnaire, which is like 12 pages long. We're trying to figure out all sorts of things. I'll give you some examples of what we're trying to figure out. And we do all sorts of research to try to understand as much as we can to make sure that the language is something truly that needs our help. The truth is many, probably about over half of those 4,000 that don't have anything can't be helped. The language is dying. The people, the young people are moving to a different language. So it's not really needed. So we look at number of speakers, although we're not looking for a minimum, but we do look at number of speakers. I would say if there's like only 200 speakers, we probably wouldn't help them. Use among generations, it's not just grandpa's language, but it's all the way down. Because that shows it has vitality, it will continue. Birth rates, death rates, urbanization, migration, are they leaving the language area? Do they use another language equally well? They don't really need it. What's their attitude toward the language? Do they feel like their language doesn't need to have maybe the Bible in that language? The Haitian grill actually was like that at one point in the mid-20th century. They didn't think the Bible should be in that language. That's just our street language or whatever. Existence of other translations. Is there already a good translation? How good is the translation that's already been done? And then we want to have qualified translators and then leadership for the project too. So this is what God has led us to. Right now we're working with 44 different languages in 17 countries. A few of these, this is one of the big ones. These are Eurasia, of course, is just a region, and then Metanoia is a pseudonym. Asia, same thing, and this is also a pseudonym. So we're getting into some areas where we can't really give a whole lot of details about where we're working. So pretty complicated map. I have it up there on our display as well as our new prayer card too. So then when we see that something is a pretty good situation, this is, you can see, Côte d'Ivoire. We meet with the people to form the leadership committee, the direction committee. And then they try to gather together people who can do the project. So we form that committee and we see that we have leadership in place, then it's time to adopt the project and to sign an agreement that we're going to help them. Usually we say we're going to help them complete the New Testament. Sometimes we may just say we'll help you with a portion and see how it goes. Because it's a huge commitment. We're talking $250,000 that we're committing to do at least. And that's if it's 10 years, and oftentimes they go much longer than 10 years. So It's a huge commitment for us. And then we will train what we call the Read and Review Committee, which works with the translator to, after he does the first draft, they will sit down together and they will make sure it sounds good in their language. So they're checking for what we call naturalness and clarity. The third big pillar, we could say, is accuracy. And that's where we as consultants come in and help with accuracy. So we work on the project 10 to 12 years, New Testament. We're averaging, I think, around 14 years, actually. Sometimes we can finish it in 5 or 6. But then 16 to 18 for an Old Testament, doing 2 workshops a year. Sometimes we can do more, but sometimes the translators can't handle more. So it all depends on what they can handle, what we can handle.
That's not 18 years total. That's 18 years
just for the Old Testament. So you combine that, and you have 30 years for a whole Bible. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, Oksana and I started New Testament together in 2015, actually. And we try to tell them, listen, guys, you're on track to finish in 2060 because they're going so slow. But they're working with a language that's never been standardized into any sort of written form. They're producing the first material in that language. So they've never had to think about it in this kind of way. I mean, in translation, pushes you in directions you've never had to speak in normal life, right? Having then been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Did you ever say that in your normal conversation? You know, you don't say those kind of things that the Bible, that God says in His Word. And so they have to figure out, well, do we have a participle, having been justified, a past participle, right? Do we have, what is a past participle in our language? And those kind of things. So then we do training, and here we are. Actually, this is before we got married. She was coming there to just observe and got involved in interpreting for me. She didn't want to, but God put her in the forefront, and she really enjoyed it, and it was confirmation that we were meant to be together. So she became, of course, my wife and also my Russian interpreter. And through that, we're helping these people, and very soon we will have printed the first book, the Book of Mark, in this language. And we were just talking to the translators on the way down yesterday about this, because there's sensitivity. This is a language, like I said, I can't even tell you what country it's in. Or I'd have to kill you if you want to know. I'll tell you, and then I'll kill you. The secular Muslim government, but they don't want us doing these kind of things. For them, it's maybe more political. They're afraid that they may defect or whatever to the country to the north. So then we start the operation. This is where I can spend a little bit more time. So we meet with the translators. And this is the translator of our New Testament and the translator of the Old Testament. So I was being mentored. And then down here, I'm actually mentoring a guy over there in India. And then you can see Oksana and me working there. I will ask my question in English. She puts it into Russian. They answer in Russian. She puts it back into English. I figure out if they answer my question or not and what else I need to ask. And then I'm looking at the Greek, trying to understand the Greek, and they think all the answers are in the Greek, right, Pastor Warren? All the answers are in the original languages. It's just, yeah. And I look at it and I say, well, I don't know. I mean, I know what the Greek says, but I don't know how that could go in your language. And so we do it book by book. The translator works, after we give him training, he works on the first draft into his language. And then he checks it if there are other translators with them, and then the read and review committee. And they will read through it, again, looking for naturalness and clarity. I'll show you a kind of a timeline, but we start with Mark. That's why we're producing. No, they are not. The Haitian Creole guy is going from Hebrew. And the cool thing about this one is he's going from Hebrew into Haitian Creole. And then because I have worked with Haitian Creole long enough, I can at least read it. And so I can just read directly his language. Most of the time, it's not that easy. Usually, I'll show you what we call a back translation, which is usually how we have to access a translation because we don't know it. So, in almost none of them, Haitian Creole, again, is an exception. These guys have master's degrees and stuff like that. But the committee, they're supposed to be working just with naturalness and clarity, not accuracy. That slows them down, actually, when they do too much with that. But so, like, I could take this guy, Peter Rang Long, with the Rang Long in India. He is going from English and whatever other language he knows, which could be six languages. You know, of course, this church is an exception, but Americans typically only know one. Most people around the world know two or three or four, and he probably knows five or six. So he's working with whatever languages he knows to try to put together what he thinks, you know, the meaning is of the text. And then he will figure out how to put that into Rang Long. And he will do, you know, work on it book by book. And then he will meet with the committee. And let me see if I have some of these things on here. And then once they've met as a committee, then it will get back translated, which is like an interlinear. So it will be put from English or from Rang Long back into English. Now it's different than what he started with, right? Because now it's word order according to Rang Long and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be quite broken. I'll show you an example of this. It's quite broken up. And so it's like a linguistic puzzle piece that we've got to try to put together to figure out how these things work in their language to figure out if it's communicating the meaning of the Greek. And so the translator will test the translation as well. We do these trial editions. We have them, encourage them to read it aloud to see how it sounds, knowing that commas are not pronounced. And so you can't just say, well, the comma will make them stop. Well, a good reader will stop. A poor reader may not. And you have to pay attention to that. So ask someone else to read it aloud, listen to see if they stumble as they're reading. If they stumble and you have multiple people stumble in the same spot, that probably means there's a problem there we need to fix. Ask someone to recount the passage. If they can't read, you can say, well, let me read the passage to you and then you tell me what it said. Okay? And that will help to know if it's clear in their language. Ask questions about the passage. And then, so we do the translation, and I'll show you a timeline. It takes about 7 years, and then we do quality checks, and I'll show you some of those. And then we do add-ons, book introductions, glossary, tables of weights and measures. And while that's going on for many of our projects, really around 26, we're doing literacy and linguistics, which is because for linguistics, it's studying their language to help make sure that we're standardizing it in a good way. So it's not that it's not written, but it's maybe never been written in a formal way. And so everyone's just kind of doing whatever's right in their own eyes as they text each other. But we've got to figure out, we have to figure out where do the spaces go between the words, right? And you know, did you ever realize when you speak, you don't actually say the spaces, right? It's just a continuous stream of speech. So to take your continuous stream of speech and put it into writing, you have to think through where do the spaces go, right? How are words formed? Should these be two words or one word? That can actually be extremely complicated in standardizing. And then literacy. They've never read their language maybe in written form. So we have to teach teachers to teach their people how to read their language. So I have a video here. I don't know how much. We'll maybe just look at it quickly. But this is in Papua New Guinea. There were three nationals, a missionary translator with a big beard, looks like a translator, right? And then an intern, and then I'm there, and we're talking about Romans 14:1, which is him that is, in King James, is him that is weak in faith, receive ye not, but not to doubtful disputations. That's a clear, King James is perfectly clear. So the missionary is going to read the translation for the others to hear one more time to read. He'll tell me about a small revision he wants to make, then they'll revise it, They'll read it again. Then he asks, and I'll ask my question about doubtful disputations, because that's the big question. But this is a back translation that we can get. So I tried to show you with colors how this kind of matches up. So everything between the purple parentheses is him that is weak in faith. Okay? And then everything between the yellow is receive ye, the verb. And then the conjunction, you could say, is kind of like split into the what's before and after, the green, and then the doubtful disputations is this argue, recipient marker, be inside, speech, which, expectation, nearly. So that's doubtful disputations. So I try to put that together and then figure out if it's saying what the Greek says. And if not, then I have to ask questions. And this one, I said, huh? I don't know what this is saying. So I asked my question, and so this is down in Papua New Guinea. You can hear the, I don't know how we're going to be able to hear this. Maybe not. Well, at least you can hear, you can see that he's reading, and the text is being projected like we do here. He projects the text on the wall on the right here, and you can see the nationals, and they're listening. And I'm just sitting there waiting for my question, maybe praying, maybe answering a Pastor Warren email saying, I can't come to the Ukrainian village to meet you for something like that. And then I asked my question, so I'm not sure why I'm not getting any sound, but yeah, maybe. So this is, we spent like a half an hour or more on this one verse, and hopefully it won't take us a half an hour for every verse, because we have to finish everything in 10 to 12 years. So we actually try to do. The goal that I put before all of our consultants is to do 130 verses a day. Okay, so we scale that back if the book is harder. So if the book is harder, we'll say, okay, do half as many. If it's twice as hard as a normal book, if it's three times as hard, like Romans, we'd say do a third as many. So we don't expect them to do that. So the first year is spent in just a lot of training. Translator training, RRC training, computer editing, so forth. And then we start to work on the New Testament, starting with Mark, usually, because Mark is stories. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It's just easier to translate. And then James is pretty easy. John as well, John's writings. And then we start getting a little bit harder with Acts. Some of these books are harder in Greek, but not maybe quite so hard if you're actually working with English. Like Acts and Luke are quite hard in Greek, but not so much in English. So about the third year, we want to do a trial edition. And then just keep working on it. Do another trial edition maybe a couple of years later. First and Second Corinthians are quite hard. Second Peter is quite hard. Hebrews. And then Matthew is not too hard, but just kind of an easier one toward the end. Revelation is actually not too hard. Some unusual vocabulary, of course, but. And then we do many quality checks, including like parallel passages. So, the feeding the 5,000 occurs in all four Gospels. We want to look at all four Gospels in the Greek and see if they're doing the same thing in their translation. If it's the same in the Greek, it ought to be the same in their translation. And then key terms will take us a lot of time. Let's look at every occurrence of agapao, the word, Greek word for love. Let's look at every single occurrence and see if they are either consistently translating it or have a good reason to use a different word. We're not going to say you have to use the same word in every single occurrence, but you have to have a good reason according to context to change it and do something different. So, and many other punctuation kind of issues that we check as well. Because over a 10-year process, they're going to forget how they translate it. We have computer programs to help us, but still. And then add-ons. And then preparation for final approval, which, by the way, is where we're at with the Tagalog New Testament revision. for a year and a half, we've been at that stage. So hopefully, they said this month, which would be, what, Monday or Tuesday? So yeah, Wednesday is the first, I think. So they hopefully they'll get it in. And then, so we work with them on publishing, including, like, this is, I was talking with them, actually telling them, they didn't even really fully understand. This is like the translators, the one translator. But they didn't understand, okay, yes, you have finished the whole Old Testament, but we still have 2 years of quality checks to do. It's not going to be printed anytime soon, which was hard for them to hear. So they're working on, what do we want our Bibles to look like? We want two column, one column, where we're going to put the cross references. So they determine all these specs and raise final funding. This is what we need now to print it, which can be a huge amount. We can talk, you know, $100,000 maybe for final printing. And I will give the final approval, working with the primary consultant, and publishing does formatting. And then the direction committee, that's where we're at with the Tagalog. The direction committee is working on trying to get final approval. And then it's finally sent to the printer. And then that'll take that. We go different places, a lot of times South Korea, and send it by electronic. And this is our group. As of August 2018, we've actually lost a few people on even who are on this picture. A few moving on to different ministry and so forth. So, but this is, it's not just language specialists who do this kind of work. I mean, you know, we're kind of like, in a sense, the core as consultants, but then there's all these others. We have a whole stewardship department, which is actually, we have nobody in the stewardship department technically right now, but we're hoping to get a manager to at least do that. And then we have one IT specialist right now. We're looking for another one. We have one full-time, two part-time admin assistants. Our composition editor just retired on Thursday, so we have no composition editor. So obviously we have a need for people to help. So even if you don't know another language besides English, and maybe you don't even know English very well, you could still help us. So, and then we do dedication, and Satan likes to derail us, especially at the beginning and at the end. You really, like the Tagalog, it just can be so slow sometimes to get it done because Satan is doing everything he can to try to get this from getting in people's hands. This is actually a load of lumber, but it just shows you how things can derail. So they set up for dedication, distribution plan, text is shipped to the field location, and then the translation is dedicated. And I got to go to my first one in October 2017 in the foothills of the Himalayas. I got to dedicate the Inner Suraji, which I have a copy of upstairs. And that was one of the, you know, outside my salvation and marriage and Elias being born, one of the happiest days of my life. So I enjoyed this too. I was in Chad, Africa, and I got to be a part of distribution. Usually I'm just meeting with the translators. You know, it's basically 2 weeks with the translator. You're just locked up in a room somewhere and you're just working verse by verse with the translator. Then you go home. You prepare for the next day or the next week, and you're just cranking out the work and then jump on the plane and go back. So, yeah, I get to travel a lot. Do I get to see a whole lot? Not too much, once in a while. I did get to see the Taj Mahal when I was there one time. Sometimes you have to work these things in to legitimize the fact that you're on a tourist visa. You do have to be a tourist. So sometimes I have to have fun, but... And then this guy, I don't even know if he can see very well, but he finally, we gave him New Testaments at a discount, and he was so glad to have his New Testament. And then we do surveys to see how things are going, and if things go well with the New Testament, we move to the Old Testament. And we try to plan for revision about 10 years after it's done. So this is the Dendi, the first 10 books of the Old Testament, and I got to be a part of at least two or maybe four of those. And this is the you have the translators, and then missionary helpers, and then a few of our BI people on either side, and others in a heavily Muslim area where people, all they know about the Bible is what Islam teaches them, which is just a mess. But then they hear that Abraham had two sons, and the one of promise is Isaac, and you know, they it's been neat. It's neat to see these new first generation believers getting saved. So this is the last slide. This is actually a Tagalog guy reading John and Ephesians. So we did a trial edition for them. We have 10 trial editions due coming up here, and 10 literacy or linguistic materials, 2 New Testaments and 3 Bibles due coming up in the next 2 years. So anyone have any questions before we kind of break up? Okay. So let them just come up to me and... Or talk to Elias. He's got a lot to say back there too. Right, buddy? You got a lot to say? He'll probably say it in Russian, though. There's a pretty good chance he knows more Russian than he does English. So you need to know some Russian to be able to understand what he's saying. So, okay, well, thank you very much. And look forward to reporting on the ministry tonight. Thank you. What do you think, buddy?